on today. Amen. He has given me a simple title on today, the invitation. Amen. The invitation. I started working on this word maybe 2 weeks ago. And I thank God for the prayer because so busy this week. Knew that it was Pentecost Sunday, but slipped my mind. But the word, God knows what he wants to bring forth. God knows what he wants to say. And so the invitation. So for me, this is a quick testimony before I dive into this. For me, it was simply going to church on a watch night, meeting a pastor in the church informally, just saying, hey, how you doing after church on Sunday? And then getting a call just from my then person I had gone on a couple of dates with, now my wife, getting a call from her and saying, my pastor wants to see you. Amen. I said, okay. And I took a drive to Americus, Georgia. I sat in a living room and I gave my life to Christ. It was an invitation. It was a simple invitation, one that I was not expecting, one that I did not think today is going to be the day that I give my life to Christ. Today was going to be the day that I start this journey, that it was going to set the wheels in motion for me to get married, to become a father, to become a minister, to become a pastor. It was a simple invitation on a random day in December that changed my life. An invitation. And when God gave me this word, I began to think about how many times we are presented with an invitation or an opportunity for God to do something in our life, and we blow the invitation off, or we are too busy to accept it. And I need y'all to know that that is literally what the gospel is. The gospel is an invitation. And it's not just a random invitation like you get invited to an 8-year-old birthday party. You say, oh, they ain't going to miss me. They ain't going to even remember that they had a birthday party at 8. The gospel is a little bit different than that. A gospel is a type of invitation that demands a response. You know, some people you blow off or that text you and you don't respond. But when God is trying to talk to you, or when God is trying to get your attention, or when God gives you an invitation, you need to be sensitive to that, and you need to respond. Amen. And so there are so many examples in the Bible where God gives an invitation. Think about the rich young ruler. Well, you know what I got to do? He said, give up all that you own and follow me. That was an invitation. That rich young ruler, he had to make a choice. Am I willing to give up everything that I own? You know, he had went down a list of all of the things that he does. You know, I do this, I keep the commandments, I pray, X, Y, Z. But then God said, okay, well, let me invite you to come follow me. And that young man had to make a decision. I think about Nicodemus. You know, he told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. That was an invitation. That was an invitation to start over. Forget what you've learned and walk this thing out a new way. Do this thing differently. That was the invitation. The disciples began following Jesus. Think how blessed they were to walk with the Son of God. But it started with an invitation to follow me. Come on out of the fishing boat and follow me. The woman at the well. If you knew who you were talking to, if you knew who was inviting you to this living water, you would respond differently. It was an invitation. And so on, and so on, and so on. God starts with an invitation. And my fear today is that many of us accept invitations half-heartedly. You know, we have that attitude when we are invited to something. We really don't want to go, but let me just show up to show my face. But our invitation is not to actually show up and be present in what we are being invited to. And that's my fear, that a lot of Christians, right, we say, yeah, come on, I'll go to church with you. I'll do this with you. Or they even give their life to the Lord and get baptized, but it's half-heartedly. Because we just going to show up and show our face. We just going to, you know, we going to do what the people say we need to do. But I need y'all to, and the Lord is calling you to, right? Like the word says, harden not your heart. When you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Accept the invitation wholeheartedly. And know that whenever God invites you to something, whenever God is speaking to you, whenever God is trying to get your attention, that his invitation demands a response. It demands that you say, God, right, say something. God, I'm scared. God, I'm not ready. But say something. Say something. Respond to what he's saying. Joshua 24 and 15, it reads. This is towards the end of the book. They have gone through so much. They fought the battle of Jericho. They have marched, right? They have fought wars. They have suffered losses. But God is steady. He is faithful to bring them through. And we get to the end of the book. And I can imagine Joshua leading these troops all throughout this book. And he's getting to the end. And people still are not willing to accept the invitation of what God is trying to do in their life. And we get to chapter 24 and 15. And Joshua says, but if serving the Lord, right? This is the NIV, and I went to the NIV because I like the word that it uses. It says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. And I can hear the tiredness in Jeremiah's voice. We done fought all these battles together. And y'all, I'm just at the point now where I just got to say, you know, if serving the Lord, if serving the Lord is undesirable for you, just make up your mind. Just make it loud. Don't straddle the fence. Don't pretend. Don't choose to serve him one day. And if you feel like when you read King James, it says, if serving the Lord is evil to you, right? Then just choose for yourself this day who you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jeremiah had just got it to. He said, I don't know what the rest of y'all are going to do, but I've heard the invitation, and I've seen, and I'm saying Jeremiah, I mean Joshua. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I can just see him saying, I have seen what the Lord can do, and I don't know what the rest of y'all are going to do. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to take the invitation, a choice. A choice is required. Even in the Old Testament, God is making it clear that you must decide. You must decide. And I need all of y'all that get discouraged when people don't want to walk with you, when people don't work with the spirit of excellence, when they dragging their feet, when they always got an excuse, right? The Bible tells us clearly that whatever we do, we are supposed to work as unto God. Everybody ain't going to want to go. Everybody ain't going to want to get any business. Everybody ain't going to want to show up. Right? But as for me, I don't know what the rest of y'all going to do. But as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. John 3 and 18. John 3 and 18. Also shows us what this invitation is about. This is not, like I say, this ain't no little, you know, no, come on, girl, let's go out and eat. This ain't that type of invitation where you say, I don't feel like it, I'm just staying home. When God is inviting you to something, it demands a response. This invitation, the invitation of the gospel, has eternal weight to it. We're talking about an invitation to eternity. We're talking about an invitation to eternity. There is no neutral ground. You either believe or you don't believe. We're talking about heaven and we're talking about hell. There is no middle ground. John 3 and 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And I want to say on the screen, I put that amplified for you so you can see how it's broken out. But what this scripture is saying is you either believe or you don't. Y'all got to understand there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. And I thank God for the prayer. I thank God for the prayer as minister was praying, right? Because when you see stuff like this, you might start to feel that offense rising in your heart. But I have to say, like, I have to read it directly from the scripture, because I want y'all to understand that sometimes we pacify ourselves. Yes, I know that you're working. Yes, I know that you're not a finished work. Yes, I know that you are trying. Right? But Paul tells us that we got to push towards the mark, right? We got to strive. We got to wrestle. Right? We got to wrestle and say, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. But some of us, we get on cruise control when it comes to God. And we don't even realize we are so in danger of being on that side of unbelief. Because the word says you'll know them by the fruit that they bear. When it's always a struggle for you to do something for God, I got to question whether you really love them or not. Because when you love somebody, you do it when you're tired. You do it when you're sick. You praise them when you're poor. You praise them when you're rich. You keep pushing. You keep going. Right? And the world has a way of telling us you ain't got to do all that. I know, like, that's the goodness of God. I know I ain't got to do all that, but I want to do it because I love him. It ain't about what I got to do. It ain't about what I got to do. I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by faith. So it ain't about what I got to do. I know I ain't got to do all that, but I want to do all that. And I got a question. When you don't want to do it all the time, You don't want to do it. You don't want to show up to like four Sundays in a month is too much, right? When you don't want to show, I got to question whether you really love them or not. Because you either believe or you don't. Revelations 3:20 tells us that this invitation, right? That this invitation has to be accepted because you want it. Revelations 3:20 says, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you got to open the door. Number one, you got to hear the knocking. Some of us are too distracted by our phone. We got too much stuff going on to even hear Jesus knocking at the door. We got too many people in our ear. Too many things that are more important to God. We can't even hear the knock. But once you hear the knock, Revelation tells us that we have to open the door. He says, if you open the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus invites, but we must respond. We must open the door. God is giving somebody an invitation. And I'm not the type of pastor that try to preach for membership. I just want you to be saved, even if you're in somebody else's church. Just be saved and get in somebody else's church. I don't understand how you can have all the members anyway and do a good job. Because let me tell y'all, 3PD is enough for me. The struggle with the few saints that I got is enough for me to try to do my job well, to try to do my job efficiently, to try to push to holiness, to try to push to righteousness, to try to push people into service. It's enough for me. Lord, I thank you. We got to open the door. When we hear the invitation, God is giving an invitation. Because the thing is, right, Jesus, we try to walk this thing out in private. But let me tell you, when God invites you, he invites you out in public. He invites you. It's a public invitation. We see Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives, right, preaching sermons, giving a public invitation. In Acts 2, which I'm going to read after I read this next scripture, in Acts 2, when we're talking about the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, we see a sermon take place where thousands of people are saved because of a simple invitation to repent and turn and come back to God. It's a public invitation. And that's the thing. If nobody knows that you a Christian but you, I got to really question whether you a Christian or not. I thank God for my son's testimony. He said, you know, I'm riding in the car and I can see what God is doing. Because people are starting to notice and they want to go. If you don't have any influence, you're a Christian, but you don't have any influence. You can't speak peace over nobody's life. You can't pray over nobody. You can't shift the atmosphere in any situation. I got to question whether. I got to question. And I'm not talking about superficial change where the person feel better for a little bit. I'm talking about influence to surrender their life to the Lord. See, a lot of us feel better when we have, like a lot of people in the world have influence. Like if you take any leadership course, they can tell you, you know, sometimes your influence is just attached to your title. Because you're the boss. People really don't want to do what you say do. They just do it because you're the boss, because you got a title. Or your children don't really want to do what you say. They just do it because you mama and they don't want no whooping. Right? Godly influence is going to lead them in a way where I'm not doing this for mama. I'm not working for my boss. I'm doing this for the Lord. That's godly influence. It's a public thing, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me, I will disown before my Father in heaven. The invitation is public. The response cannot be passive. When Jesus invites you to serve him, you can't be like, you got to be like, yes, send me. I'll go. I'll live for you. I'll tell people about you. I'm not ashamed to talk about you. I'm not ashamed to pray. I'm not ashamed to show up. I'm not ashamed to go last. Like, that's how your life lives out loud. A lot of people, they want to be passive Christians. They only want to be a Christian when it's convenient. When everybody talking about that, oh, yeah, girl. The word was good at my church too. And then the next weekend, you doing something else. I got a question. Really, whether you've accepted the invitation. Have you ever been in a place where you don't want to leave? I believe that an invitation to be with Christ is that type of invitation. When you don't want the party to be over. You know, when you in the world, I remember I go to the club, I be in the world. You know, at the end of the night, they'll turn on Yolanda Adams or they'll start playing and they'll cut the light on. That means go home. That means the party is over. Heaven ain't going to be like that. This type of invitation is a thing like, I don't want to go home. I want to stay in your presence. I want to stay where you are. I want to stay around the people of God. I want to stay in worship. I got a question whether some of us have really accepted the invitation. If we always ready to be somewhere besides where God is, it's a public invitation. It's a public spectacle. It's a public party. Right? And I close with Acts 2, 37 through 47. I'm going to jump around, but I'm giving you the address so you can read on your own so that you know that I'm in there. Right? In Acts 2, by the time we get down to the 37th verse, I want to say it was Peter, if I'm not mistaken. It was Peter preaching. And Peter giving them the rundown of all, right? He's giving them the rundown of all that Jesus has done. He's giving them the rundown of how David, he calls David a prophet. He's giving them the rundown of how David was prophesying that there will one day be a savior who would never leave the throne and he would never die, that he would basically defeat death. And the word says when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brother, what shall we do? What shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Hearing an invitation from God should move you to action. It should move you. When you hear a word from the Lord, it should move you to do something, right? It should move you to repent. It should move you to say, Lord, strengthen my faith. It should move you to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Like Thomas, it should move you to say, Lord, clean me up, make me right. Lord, help me to forget. A good word should move you to do something. Hearing the gospel, hearing the invitation should move you to action. They were cut to their heart. Some of us don't nothing move us because we never think that the word is for us. I wonder who pastor talking about. Who done made him mad this Sunday? Ooh, I know he got to be talking about Minister Tom. He got to be talking about Minister Keith. He got to be talking about Jay, because I know she be doing X, Y, and Z. Who is he talking? A good invitation, right? A good word should move. They heard this word and they were moved to their heart, right? They were moved to repent. They were baptized. And then look at what the 42nd verse says. It says, and all the believers devoted themselves. We think devotion is just when the music comes. Devotion is an everyday thing. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They showed up to Bible study because I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to know the right thing to do. Some of us don't show up because we don't want to know the right thing to do. Because if we know the right thing to do, now we accountable for doing the right thing. But y'all need to read that God gave you a conscience, and that conscience is going to leave you without excuse when you stand before God, right? How many times have you had the invitation to show up to Bible study, to show up to Teacher Tuesday, to show up to revival, to show up to Sunday school, to show up to adult fellowship, to show up to the book club, right? And then you say, you don't know what to do. I don't have no direction. They devoted themselves to teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to the pop-up shop, to the going out to eat after the church, to going to so-and-so house, to sitting in the hospital room, showing up for the person's birthday. And y'all, please understand, I know that you can't show up to everything. But I'm talking about when you don't even have no desire to be there. I'm talking about like even if you got to work, you be saying, Lord, please, turn this thing around where I ain't got to go to work. But some of y'all be happy to have an excuse not to show up. I can't go. I got such and such going on. I can't go. I got to question whether you really accepted the invitation. Because when you have, you want to be. You want to be where he is. They devoted themselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So many times we be ready for the prayer to stop. How long Pastor T gonna pray? Whew, I'm tired. How long this altar call gonna last? Right? How long I'm ready for my turn. So after I get prayer, I can leave before we even get to the benediction and slide out the back door. That's what we do. And I got a question. Whether we really understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross. They devoted themselves to these things. And look what the 43rd verse says. And a deep sense of awe came over all of them. I'm talking about when you get connected to God, he will blow your mind. Y'all, I can't. See, some of y'all. Do you have the discernment? You could hear it in Brother Marcus' voice. 9 times out of 10, Brother Marcus gonna be chill. You gonna say something to Brother Marcus? He gonna be like, okay, all right. When he was standing up here testifying this morning, you could hear the sincerity. You could hear that he knew that he knew that he knew that it was God that did this thing and not me. There is a sound that comes with God.
Yes, it is.
There is a sound.
Yes, it is.
You can tell when people going through the motions. Let me just go on vacuum this floor real quick. Let me just go on wipe this down real quick so my mama won't say nothing to me. So pastor won't have, let me just go on show up because I know they're going to send me that text message saying where you at. Right. But I'd much rather be at home. Right. There is a sound. There is a look, there is a feel to the way that people move when they have accepted the invitation to be called of God. There was a deep sense of awe that came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonder. And that's why God don't move like he want to move. When Jesus went to Nazareth, when he went to his hometown, the one place where all the miracles should have went down. The reason that they didn't go down was because they didn't want to believe. Because of their unbelief. They couldn't believe that Joseph's boy was there to do miraculous things. Right? And I'm almost done. You can get ready. They, you know, right, y'all got to understand, this is Acts. Jesus is gone. It didn't say Jesus performed. It said they performed. If you want God to move in your life, you got to really accept the invitation. Then he can give you power like we're talking about in Acts 2. Power like we're talking about on Pentecost Sunday. He can give you power to shift things and move things. All the believers met together in one place and they shared everything that they had. So many times I'm trying to get y'all to get the invitation. Understand what it means to move as a body. We got some talented people in this house, but y'all don't move as a body because we are always concerned about me and my. That marketplace, I know a lot of y'all think, come on, we out here doing this, pastoring them, putting this on. You don't see it as your own thing. So who church is it? Is it just our church or is it y'all church too? You see it as our thing and not your thing. Why you think we invite the children to do the thing? Like, what's your gift? What's your talent? What's the thing that you want to do for the Lord? What's the thing that you want to do, right? We ain't just selling lemonade to sell lemonade. The money go into the ministry to get a bigger space. But are we going to be even ready when we get a bigger space and more people come? Are we going to even have the heart to be able to serve them, to be able to lead them to Christ, to be able to extend an invitation for somebody to get saved? Because our mind is elsewhere. It's not really on ministry. I had to tell my wife last night, right, this is the cost of leadership. This is like the cost of leadership is you're going to have to be the one to do stuff that you're thinking right. Right? We open up the church every Sunday. We were the first ones here yesterday and the last ones to leave. That's the cost of leadership. Well, everybody, y'all think we went hot? We were hot too. But that's the cost of leadership. And it's not that you want other people to do. You just want them to acknowledge that there's something to be done. Give somebody an opportunity to say, no, I don't need no help. I'm good. Thank you for asking. Right? But they gave. I'm in the word now. They gave. This ain't me venting. I'm showing you what happened when you're on one accord. They gave all that they had. I'm going to ride to the end. Y'all know how many times people say, I'm down with you for life? Yeah. And then leave the church? I'm riding with you, Pastor. Like, I don't even get excited no more when somebody say, ooh, that's a good word. I'm down with you. You the truth, man. You for real. And then, right, if it was a good word, why you don't show up to church? If it's a good word when I need help, why I can't find you? That stuff like, you can't gas me up. You can't. Because I have learned that if I preach, if I do any of this for the applause and the recognition of people, when all that applause and that recognition stop, whether it's in my personal life, whether it's on my job, when all the applause and the recognition stop, I'm going to want to quit and throw me in the towel. So I have learned a long time ago that Jesus is my why. The word said they sold all their property, all their possessions, and they shared money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. Please understand that last sentence. He added to those that were being saved. It didn't say he added to your followers on Instagram. That don't mean nothing. He added to your Facebook friend. Right? It says he added to those that were being saved. That is the goal. The invitation is not to come on, let's just have a good time. Because let me tell you, sometimes on this walk, it's not going to be a good time. Sometimes it's not going to be. Sometimes it's going to just be straight up work. It's going to be pain. It's going to be long nights. It's going to be suffering. But the invitation is not to just have a good time. Yes, you can find joy in the Lord. But the invitation is to be saved. It's to be redeemed. It's to be cleaned. It's to be sanctified. It's to be holy. It's to be made right with God. And so I pray on today. I'm done, Ethan. I pray on today, amen, that if you have not accepted the invitation, amen, of the gospel, that you would hear what God is saying today and say, God, you know what? I need to do better. I need to do better. Even if you have given your life to the Lord and you have saved, but you know, like our minister prayed, you know that there is an area that's a little wrinkly. Let God iron that thing out. Let him fix your mindset about how you operate, about how you move, because any invitation that God gives, it demands a response. And it's just dropped down there. I'm saying this for the people that are struggling in this season. You don't get invited to a Christmas party in June. And you only get invited to a pool party in the winter. Some invitations are seasonal. So sometimes when God is inviting you to a season of rest, sit down. When he's inviting you to a season of work, then work. When it's a season of service, then serve. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You gotta know. Don't miss it. Don't, when he telling you to rest, don't keep working. And when he telling you to work, don't say, Lord, just hold on. Let me just take a little longer break. Some invitations are seasonal. But we gotta know it and hear his voice. And we gotta respond appropriately. Here go my other thing. You ever get an invitation and it didn't have all the information on it? What you do? You pick up the phone and you say, where is this now? Or what's the dress code? Or what? Sometimes when God, when you unsure of what he's asking you to do, talk to him. Pray out, call out to him and get clarity. So you don't miss the party. No, so you be thinking it started at 1 and it started at 11. Now you late. Now you like the 10 virgins. Right? Get clarity. Lord, what are you inviting me to? What are you inviting me to in this season? How do I need to be dressed? How do I need to be prepared? Do I need to bring anything? You got everything that you need? Do I need to bring anything? Can I bring a guest? Is it with a plus one? What do I need to do to be prepared to receive and sit in this place that you are preparing for me? Amen. Amen. Anybody desiring prayer room today?